Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, what if we brought way too many people on for any sort of wrangling? This is going to be a lot of fun, you guys. We have a commissioned episode. All that and more over this app we have no control over.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
And as Jeff mentioned in the intro, we have a commissioned episode today. our patron Dylan Diggs, who is here with us. How you doing, Dylan?
Hey everybody, how's it going?
Doing well.
Dean just waved. This is an audio format, Dylan. We're gonna need you to speak up.
Words.
I'm just messing with you, sir.
It's really good to have you. Dylan's commission was that we would come up with our own what if scenarios. We got what if starting in 2 days, so I thought what better time than right now to handle that commission. We also have, actually, we have our source pages team with us. which BVK actually reached out with almost the same commission, except for he had to horn himself into it. Like Dylan was like, "How about you guys do what ifs?" And BVK was like, "How about we do what ifs and bring me on to talk about it?" And so we were like, "Okay, well let's bring everybody on." So BVK is here. Ryan V. Klein.
Hello, hello.
And Haley Hobbs is here.
Hey.
Welcome, guys. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
I figure with Source Pages having done such a deep dive into What If recently, you know, to kind of like figure out who the hell the Watcher is, Uatu, mm-hmm. It would be a great time to bring everybody on and just, you know, make it really difficult for Matt to edit this episode.
That's the plan.
That's
the plan. We did a podcast. Oh, I wanted to mention it up top, so I'm glad it just randomly came up because I had totally forgotten. But we did, on Bingers Assemble, we did the Suicide Squad this week.
The Suicide Squad?
Yes, the brand new 2021 The Suicide Squad. And it's probably one of my favorite episodes. It is one of my favorite episodes of Bingers Assemble. So we've reformatted the show a little bit. And I really loved The Suicide Squad. So if you loved The Suicide Squad and you want to hear me like gush about it and just laugh uncontrollably for a long time, go listen to this week's Bingers Assemble. I really had a fun time. And we had Ashley Coffin and J. Scotty St. Clair on there, and it was just a blast. So please, if you're listening to this, you've probably seen The Suicide Squad already. Go check out The Suicide Squad. It's a great movie. And okay, or you're
very small
sliver.
I'm thinking. I know at least two of us have seen it. I'm not sure about Dylan. I'm pretty sure Jeff hasn't. I know Haley hasn't.
I haven't either.
So
no,
40% of the cast has seen it
tonight. Well, I'm watching it. I plan to watch it tonight once
it's
the kids
so
go down.
Good.
Don't make promises like that.
So freaking good. It has all the heart and the style of Guardians of the Galaxy, but in a much more adult format, and it's a little gory, but it's amazing. Anyway,
no, it's a lot gory.
So it's a lot gory.
So I can't watch it with the kids, is what you're saying?
No. There's a lot of swearing, but that's not what we're here for.
That's not what we're here for. But please check out Bingers Assemble because that is what we were there for. So we're going to start out the show. You're each going to pitch our own what if ideas. We gave no instruction on how to do this. So it might be like an idea somebody throws out and we all bat it around. It mm-hmm. might be an idea that's a little more formulated. I basically wrote a script, so I'm sorry. My apologies. I wrote like a full script treatment. So
I don't feel like you're sorry.
No, that's a sorry not sorry situation right there. I think
that's definitely one of those like.
I got started and I got emotionally wrapped up in the story and I just kept writing.
Wow.
Matt's just waiting for Marvel to cut him the check.
That's right.
Cut the check.
Marvel, make this a what if episode. Season two, baby. Season two. Okay. But Dylan is going to start us off with his what if scenario. Let's turn it over.
All right. So my what if scenario is, it's Avengers 1. You know, the Chitauri invasion was led by Loki has started, and they successfully dropped a nuke on New York City.
It's very wait, sad. Who's they?
Who were they? It was
the U.S.
government.
It was the World Security Council.
Yeah, it was the World Security Council. That's right. We established. That's right. The World Security Council is successful in dropping a nuke. Billions die. Very sad. As Loki said, very sad. Moving on. tragedy. But maybe even like for us, I mean, all the millions dying is really sad, but for us, seeing the Avengers die also would be pretty impactful on the MCU in general. And so I ran through kind of all the things that I think would happen. One, first thing, I don't think the Hulk would die.
Absolutely not, yeah.
You know, we established he might get, you know, a little beat up, but he would regenerate somehow.
He'd be pissed.
He would be pissed, which might be a whole today. It might lead to, like, War World Hulk, but we won't go down that route. Thor might live. He did survive the flaming fire of the sun. Which is a fusion reaction, and so he might survive, but he would be beat up.
A little stronger than a nuke.
He barely survived that.
Yeah, a little bit stronger.
A little bit stronger, but he would be down. The Defenders would die.
Hey now.
If they're even in this universe, they would
die. Hey now.
Depends on which reality they're in.
What if?
Yeah. You're hurting me real bad.
Let's assume, at least even not in their superhero forms, they're there. They would probably die. Doctor Strange would die. He wouldn't be Doctor Strange yet, but he wouldn't be there. Potentially, depending on the size of the bomb, it might hit Queens as well. There'd be radioactive fallout too. Peter Parker's gone.
You're dark, Dylan.
Let's go even deeper in the stuff we don't know. But if Reed Richards and the rest of them are in New York, then maybe even Franklin Richards doesn't survive. Maybe Kang doesn't survive because his lineage is done. And so we got some, like, that could have implications on the whole string of the multiverse. And so a lot of people dead. A lot of our heroes are dead. Hydra might become the rising power in the globe because now the Avengers are gone and the one thing that stopped them is gone, Captain America. Winter Soldier would continue to work for Hydra and be an enforcer for them. Maybe they still assassinate T'Chaka, and either Wakanda stays entrenched and isolated, or they actually come out and become an actual a clear rival to Hydra as a world power. The Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver, Hydra's experiments with them would make them also part of their kind of like nascent Avengers force, like an evil Avengers, a dark Avengers, if you will. But without
I
any
won't.
Counter, I will not, sir.
I will not. I refuse.
So then we have tonight. Scarlet Witch. we have Scarlet Witch, Quicksilver, and Winter Soldier kind of all working for Hydra, which would be bad news for anybody, especially without a counter. One bit of good news, there's no Ultron because Tony Stark isn't there to create his Frankensteins. But Hulk stays on the Earth, but we don't know what state he is in. Like Jeff said, he might be super pissed and going crazy. I don't know how the Thor storyline changes. Maybe Loki wins. Maybe he's also affected. But at the end of the day, there were like more Chitauri coming. The nuke wouldn't have closed that window from our side. Mm-hmm.
I disagree.
I guess it closed it from the other side. So,
well,
it depends on where
I mean,
landing,
the machine that was keeping it open would have been destroyed. So nothing would have been
that's true.
Keeping that
okay.
going.
Yeah.
So
the nuke didn't close it. They pulling the scepter out or using the scepter on it closed it.
Yes.
And Iron Man sent the nuke away and he dropped through right as it was closing.
That's
and
right.
Then, bam.
That's right. Bam. And he survived. Okay. So no Chitauri invasion. Thankfully, but Thanos probably has an easier time.
Right.
Honestly, there's no Avengers. He probably gets his Infinity Stones. There's no end game. And half the world is dead. And I have a theory that probably General Ross becomes president at the end of the day without an Avengers. It's
Dylan.
Not a good world.
No.
Dark story.
Dark timeline doesn't even begin to describe this madness that you have brought upon the world.
Yeah. You just killed the entire, like, hero lineup of all of the teams.
Well, honestly, why do they all live in New York City, though? That's
fair point.
It's the largest apple. They don't want to take a bite.
Have you read Marvel Comics? It's always New York. And I think a nuke that size would have just like destroyed pretty much everything. So it doesn't matter which borough you were in. If you were within 100 miles of New York, you dead. You know, I mean, you're gone.
Yeah,
so.
I've played the Fallout games. I know what happens.
Yeah.
Basically, he's a scientist at this point.
I guess, what was it? Cloak and Dagger would still survive.
Yeah, yeah, I was thinking about that, except probably the female police officer probably wouldn't, because she worked with Misty Knight right before. She came down from New York.
Oh, no! So there's nobody to save the kids! Shit!
Yeah.
Oh, no.
You kill everybody, Dylan!
Yep, sorry. Killing everybody. And then Cloak and Dagger aren't around to save the runaways.
Dylan, you kill everybody!
You killed the runaways, Dylan.
They're going from the timeline, too, which they might be anyway. But
I love it. Like, I know the Deadpool comic kills the Marvel Universe, but this is just Dylan kills the Marvel Universe.
Oh, God. So, like, who... There's one. Matt, you're not gonna like this. Matt, you're gonna hate this, but this is kind of why I want to say it. there's one hero that will survive because he will not have been there. It's the immortal Iron Fist.
Yes.
That's true. He'd be in Kunlun.
He was still in Kunlun at the time. Thank God he's coming back to save us.
Do you think Luke Cage would have survived it?
Oh, he does have the tough skin, but
would Luke Cage? I mean, would Luke Cage have been there?
Well, I think radiation would still get Luke Cage, right?
But would Luke Cage still be in prison at that point?
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's true.
I don't know when he got out. Yeah, there's really it's a weird timeline for all the Netflix stuff.
When we meet him, it's pretty shortly after 2012, and he's like working at a bar, and he seems like he's pretty past his past, if that makes sense. Like, he seems like he's in a stable place. So, like, I always assumed it'd been a couple years, but I don't know.
Captain Marvel. Oh, you know what? Actually, Captain Marvel's still around.
Yeah, she is.
She would have been off world.
She would have been off world, but there's no saying like, hey,
Nick Fury that would have brought her back.
Avengers. Yeah, that's true. Well, Nick Fury would have been dead, wouldn't he?
Not necessarily.
Unless he was in space.
Well, I'm trying to think, where was he? Where was he at the time when?
I think he was on the helicarrier.
Was he on the helicarrier? Was he in the blast area?
Maybe he was a Skrull.
No. The plane left from their helicarrier.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he was outside of the blast area, so he could have called Captain Marvel, but the thing that I meant was, like, there wouldn't be a Tony Stark floating in a dead spaceship through space for Marvel to happen upon and be like, hey, look, I found this.
Did she happen upon it, or did she, like, go to find it? I
always thought she went to go find him, but I'm also thinking, too, that the... it all depends on the nukes. If you ever... I mean... Yeah. As a kid of the 80s, we've seen all the stuff about the when a nuke goes off, you got the explosion, but then you get that aftershock that comes and destroys and just levels for miles on end. And if anything, right. I mean, Nick Fury could have survived, but what if the pager got fried? You know,
sure.
That thing gets fried. Boom. He's dead. Yep. He's got no way to, you know, because she just basically touched the thing and is like, here, put the thing together. Now you can call me whenever you want. That thing's dead, and she has no reason to come back.
Call me when you want. Call me when you need.
So, man, we would have a really dark planet for Nova to show up on, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, jeez.
Like, the Guardians would still be around. The Guardians would still be around out there.
Mm-hmm. The Nova.
All right. I like it. Any other big takeaways? Any other big things that would happen because the nuke went off in New York?
Maybe Shang-Chi's dad would rise to power, since he seems like kind of a baddie.
Yeah.
Is Ant-Man still dead?
We'd still have Ant-Man, because he was in San Francisco.
Who knows what if it would have, those events would have led to that, though.
Hank Pym had already retired at that point, so he would have seen that bad shit going on and been like, oh, hell no. And he might have come back as Ant-Man to, like, do hero things to try to save the world.
Or he would have just made his house real small again and been like, I'm out. We're going to Hawaii now.
We're done. We're done with this.
Yeah, but like Hulk rampaging would take out a lot of things. The Hydra world power would be real bad. Like you said, Dark Avengers. And mm-hmm. would probably, like, Hank Pym is absolutely on the list, right? Like, he's on the Project Insight list. He has to be.
I would think so.
Yeah, that's so true.
They and would probably that come for would, him, and he thing. Would fight back.
That whole thing, the Hydra could have still stayed covert then, because they wouldn't have been outed by Nat in 2014.
Yep.
So, yeah. They could have just kept playing under the radar, being like they had mm-hmm. done for the previous, 70 years.
Man. Right. Well, let's rough. Move on before we crash too much into my plans that I have.
Well, why don't we just move into Matt's plans? It sounds like a great segue.
Well, I was going to go last. We talked about.
Oh, right. Because you wrote a script and we're all going to act out our parts.
Yeah. I seriously considered.
You want me to put the hammer down?
I think I could go next because it was the last thing we talked about kind of segues into my thing because we were talking about Ant-Man. And I was just going to give, I didn't go as deep into it, but my main thing was, what if the Rat hadn't pulled Scott back from the Quantum Realm in Endgame? What would happen after? Because he already had 5 years of nothing, no ways of fixing it. I mean, because Tony wasn't even giving a crap about it. He wasn't even trying to fix it.
Right.
Hulk was basically trying to, fix himself. I mean, he put the two best of both worlds together, and he just had none of the scientific people doing anything for it. I mean, from what we've seen in Endgame, so it's like, how long would it, and anyone that had any ideas about the Quantum Realm were blipped, so.
Yeah, so there's no fixing it, really.
The van was in storage. It looked like it was just there waiting for anybody to show up to want it. So I have to assume that Luis was also blipped, because, that's his van. Hey, but I got the van, so. Man, that's rough, because like the only thing that saved them is Scott coming back, because he had the idea and he put the idea in there. So like, other than that, Reed Richards coming back from exploring the multiverse is like the only just kind of like Deus Ex Machina to happen there. Like, it's got to be something that just makes no damn sense.
Well, so I guess are we saying if the Rat doesn't do it, then no and nothing does it, and so the blip just remains, basically, right? Like, that's really what we're getting at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. And the thing was, is that we have to take in consideration now, thinking of Loki, like what Jeff was saying, is that if he comes back from the multiverse, you can't use any of those ideas, like, you can't take the time stones from a or any of the stones, because we find out they're, they're probably not going to work. I mean, outside of the whole TVA thing, I'm also assuming that outside of your...
Sure, yeah. Well, this is what if. So the branches are happening. We're all talking about what happens in the branches.
Okay. So is it basically that, do we think that the stones don't work? Because obviously we see that there's a whole bunch of stones there. If you take them outside of the TVA, do they work in your own reality then? Or is it just, because you can't just go to the multiverse, pop one out. The way that they figured it out with the jumping back through time, through the quantum realm, because you're still in your own timeline, and then putting them back like they were never gone, worked fine. So,
well, that's the sacred timeline. Like, that was still the same timeline.
Mm-hmm. Because that was all before any of the shenanigans of Loki happened.
Yeah, so. That was before the branches.
Right, but we know at that time that, we can assume.
I disagree, but we won't get into it.
I mean, we could agree that even though there was that sacred timeline, there was multiverse happening at that time. I mean, there was other things, like they even showed that when... At the end, when they were talking with He Who Remains, is that basically the sacred timeline was almost like they just cut off transport between the different multiverses, right? So other stuff is going on at the same time, because we're getting variants of Loki's, we're getting variants of everything else that are different. They had to have come from somewhere.
Well, yeah, it's the sacred timeline flexing. We saw it flexing on the screen.
So the best explanation we can gather from the show is that the sacred timeline is made up of a bunch of timelines, like a cord or like a, you know, like a
fiber optic cable.
Yeah. Or like a fiber optic cable where you have like a bunch of cables put together and that is the sacred timeline. And as long as none of these strands go too far off the beaten path, then he allows them. But as soon as they cross the red line, he has the TVA take care of them.
Like he's watching something happens different. He's like, no, yeah, that'll still figure itself out.
Get some tape, twist it back in.
That'll still figure itself out. It's fine.
You just don't want to trigger another Kang, right? You just don't want to like.
Right.
Yeah. Kang is inevitable.
Yes.
Yes.
But I'm just.
Nathaniel Richards is inevitable, depending on who we see him come back at. So back to the original thought, then we're basically thinking that if Scott doesn't come back at all, because it could be another 10 years, because for him, he said, what, 5 years was 5 hours. So for him.
Well, see, Tony said it was all luck, though. So he went through a time eddy inside of the quantum realm, and then he'd happen to come out 5 years later. But like, that's because of the time eddy. Like, Tony said that was a 1,000,000-to-1 shot. He got lucky. And like, it could have, he said he could have ended up in the future. He could have been in the past or something like that. Like if they had lasted 10 years, he probably would have died down there.
Right, but I'm thinking he still got pulled out when the device got activated again.
So Janet survived down there. Janet survived down there for
30 some years.
Yeah. Multiple decades.
He's no Janet.
Oh, that's true.
No, I think he had better, like, more years of technology. His suit was probably more prepared to last that long in there, because where Janet was pretty much just with the wasp outfit she had.
Janet was like, shit's happening, shit.
Yeah, no, it just seems like Janet, like, became, like, a warrior princess down there. Like, she had, like, parts of her suit, like, were fashioned into blades and stuff. I just don't see Scott Lang pulling that off.
Yeah, but they had more information about the quantum realm at that point, so it stands to reason that they would have prepared his suit and him for the quantum realm, for going down in there, because you know, he went down there to gather energy with the device.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't by accident.
Right. It wasn't an oops. It was they went there on purpose. Right.
And it's not luck that he came back. He was supposed to come back anyway. Yeah. So Tony's
saying
that.
It
was luck that the rat went across there, but not that he came back. Because he was always supposed to come back to that point.
Tony says, though, that the time differential was luck.
I mean,
the fact maybe. That the 5 days was, or the 5 years was only 5 hours to him, he says that was because he passed through a time eddy and it was luck.
And that could be an educated guess, because Tony even he doesn't know anything about the quantum realm. He's just thinking that
everybody's always disregarding Tony's knowledge about quantum realm and time mechanics. He's the one that figured it out.
Once he got the information, he was able to throw it all in and did he really figure it out, or did, the computer figure it out? So, I mean, he was giving instructions.
Would have figured out, actually, not to spoil it, but part of, actually cut it from my idea, but part of my thought process with my story that I was working on was that, like, the idea that if Tony was more motivated, it would have only been like 2 months later would have flashed up on the screen. Cause basically he brings the idea of time travel to Tony, and Tony's like, no, you can't do it. And then a day later, he's like, I figured it out. He never was motivated to do it. He doesn't bring him any new information. He's just like, yeah, it's the quantum realm. I get it. I understand what you're saying. It's just not possible. And then it gets him working on the problem, and then he solves it.
We wouldn't have had Brothor then. So
true.
No.
And we need Brothor.
Yeah.
I need Brothor.
What we don't know is how Nathaniel Richards learned to use and manipulate time. Because if Tony doesn't, you know, figure out time travel, does Nathaniel Richards even figure out time travel?
Well, that's Nathaniel Richards is from the 30 bajillionth century or whatever. Like,
it's about 1,000 years later, I think.
Yeah, he's from a long time in the future. So, like, they'll figure it out by then. He was the one that figured out, you know, he was tinkering and figured out the multiverse. So, like, yeah, he'll figure out time travel. Like, independent of Tony. Tony's not shit, Matt. That's what I'm saying. Tony's not shit.
And I disagree.
And you're wrong.
And I'm still under the assumption, too, from while they said, is that the whole thing with the time travel is that we see in Loki is still based through the quantum realm anyway, right?
Maybe. Maybe.
I mean, I'm almost positive the TVA is in the quantum realm, just from everything they said.
I believe that, too. Yeah. But, I mean, they never say it, but...
I'm going to go with the classic response.
So that's the case. So if they never use the quantum realm as a basis, do they ever figure that out 1,000 years later with the quantum realm and the TVA and all the Nathaniel Richards hoo-ha that never happens either?
Hoo-ha.
So then we don't come back and then we don't have the whole thing to begin with and... Oh, wow. Okay.
Why are you guys just making dark timelines?
Next.
Oh, man. Just wait.
Hey, all right, what if Loki had a happy childhood, you guys?
Like, shit. So we tried.
As an honorable mention one here, just to later, I thought we should go with Haley's idea of what if John Walker hadn't been a douchebag? The season ends in like 2 episodes.
All right, I think Haley, you're going to go up next. You want to throw out your what
I
if?
I can. I don't have extensive notes prepared because I didn't know I should.
You shouldn't. You're
but
good.
But my what if is about the Winter Soldier, which is the best MCU movie. So shout out to all my Winter Soldier fans. And mine is, what if when Natasha and Steve went to Sam's home after they're bombed at Zola's computer brain, what if he just slammed the door in their faces and didn't help them?
That's so rude.
So rude.
So like they wouldn't have to, you know... Get Jasper Sitwell.
Why is Sam such a dick in this universe?
I just thought it'd be funny. Yeah.
Do you see the way that Steve ran past him so many times?
Yeah,
he's jealous.
He's like,
nah, figure it out, Speed Racer. Get the fuck out of my house.
On your left, asshole.
You want my help now? Come on.
Oh, yeah. Why don't you just run away from it all?
I thought this was good. I thought that was just good-natured fun. No, you're a jerk.
No, you're a dick. I'm a veteran.
Yeah.
I just love the idea of them having to, like, go do all that stuff by themselves, because he really helps them a lot in the last third of that movie. Mm-hmm. And so they'd almost be screwed, especially during the bridge fight, because he is like up in the crow's nest position taking people out. They'd be gone.
Yeah,
it's true.
How are they gonna convince Sitwell to give up information about what Project Insight
is? Yeah, Nat just kicks him off the building. He just dies.
Yeah, kicks him out of the building. He's like, oh shit.
It's like, why did you do that? I don't know.
You thought the movie
was dark before.
She's like, I'm really tired of his bullshit.
I like the logic of removing a character like that. Like, okay, Sam Wilson's not in it anymore, but Nat, like, not getting the note that he's not in it anymore and just like kicking him off buildings and then like just doing things like, why did you jump out of that building? I don't know. They didn't catch you. I don't know.
Someone was supposed to catch him, I think.
Yeah. It must be a whisper from another timeline. The man is dead.
We don't know what's going on. We didn't get the information we needed. And she's like, no, I'll hack the system. I'll figure it out.
Guess,
it's fine.
Like, Maria Hill would have to help them with the helicarriers. And I don't know how that would go because we haven't seen her do that much.
She's kind of just been there to yell at people. Yeah. That's about it.
Look stern.
Yeah, sternly look toward the camera.
Kind of a badass though. Like whenever you see her, she's always doing something cool. Like I watched Winter Soldier today, and there's just a moment where she like some guys run into the room while she's like taking over the command center, and she's just like not without looking, like guns them
that's
down.
One of my favorite scenes.
And then just continues to talk into the microphone without like changing her vocals at all. Just coo-coo. Yeah, just move on to the next thing.
I would watch the shit out of a Maria Hill show.
They should do
it. Me too.
That would be awesome.
Yep.
I can't believe they haven't done more with her character because I think they really focused on her for a few movies and they just kind of let it drop.
Unless she's a Skrull.
Yeah.
That's how you set it up.
Well, no, that's the thing. She was a Skrull.
She was a Skrull.
It's true.
Yeah.
Spider-Man Homie. And it's very possible she always was. We know that Nick Fury has swapped. We don't know if she could have been the entire time.
Yeah.
That's true.
Maybe her show will be Secret Invasion.
Maybe. That'd be cool. I like it.
Kobe's Brothers is doing, she's that Ann Coulter. She's doing Ann Coulter. So she's like, she's big. She pops up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. she's got a big name out there. Okay. So you guys, what ifs are getting way too close to my what ifs. And maybe I shouldn't have gone last.
The timelines are starting to branch out.
Yeah, the timeline wants to break free.
They're starting to touch.
Prune it.
These Nexus events are stacking on top of each other.
Okay. It would be funny if Jeff just comes up with the exact same pitch you have.
Right?
Like, to the T.
But I, like, spent, like, an hour writing it, and he's like, okay, I didn't really write anything down, but... And he, like, word for word says my entire pitch. I'm like, what the hell?
I just came up with this on the fly. Here we go.
He, like, hacked my computer, just reading my notes.
Matt, you misspelled this.
Wait, I can't read what Matt wrote here. Oh, shit, I was supposed to say that.
Busted.
On the fly, Matt wrote. No, I was just laughing, like, so hard internally, and I had to, like, put my hands over my face because, like, I had this, like, this stupid what if of, like, what if Captain Marvel crashed into a movie gallery instead of Blockbuster?
We didn't have this. I don't know, man.
What if that happened?
I mean, nothing would have changed. No.
There would have been a different cardboard cutout staring at her.
Yep.
It just like.
All right. Thanks for playing along, Jeff.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Good job. Good job. I like it. You know, that's that timeline undulating we talked about. You know,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's stayed within
it's
the fiber
a blockbuster.
Optics.
It's not a blockbuster.
Schrodinger's blockbuster.
Yeah. What if she crashed into a Krispy Kreme? Just like, ooh. She just eats one.
Just and never leaves.
She just doesn't leave.
Movie ends there.
She becomes Bro Thor.
Did you guys hear they turned the last Blockbuster, which I think there actually is a couple more, but anyway, the last Blockbuster, they turned it into an Airbnb.
Yeah, I want to stay there.
So
I booked
you can
it
rent
with
it
podcast
out.
Money. I forgot to tell you.
So they have like a little like a den situation and with beds and stuff where you can like rent it out and go stay and watch any of the movies in the building.
It is the last one in the States. It's not the last one in the world. But
okay.
This last one.
I think there's one in Alaska or something.
Mm-mm, it closed.
They closed one over COVID. There was one that was still open and actually working, but they closed that within the last year or so.
The one in Oregon is the only one. There's a documentary about it on Netflix, and I watched it, and it's really cute.
Is that where the Airbnb is, the one in Oregon?
It must be, because it's the only one that still exists. I have so much knowledge about this.
The only caveat is if you stay at the Airbnb, all the movies are streamed. So
really,
you have to watch them on VHS.
Here's the catch,
and they're not rewound when you get them.
Oh god!
And you get one of those, old ass individual rewinders that goes like half the speed of a normal rewinder. So it's just like, because if you ever seen the ones at Blockbuster, you put the tape in there and it rewinds it like in 10 seconds. The only problem that they figured out later was that destroying the tape because it's plastic pieces moving. So something that's supposed to go 2 hours to go through the whole thing and it takes 10 seconds to go back. It's like, yeah, it's ripping the stuff to shreds. And
mm-hmm.
So that's
destroy
what they said. Like,
VHS.
Yep. I mean, they weren't lasting long anyway. I still have some of my tapes here because there's some things that aren't on any other format. And I have a working VCR in my house and watching it. It's like, wow, this is painful to watch. It's just it's... Mm.
This is a great Blockbuster tangent. I really enjoyed it.
That's such a nice way to bring us back. Like, instead of being like, all right, guys, wrap it up. You're like, this has been wonderful, guys. How about we steer the conversation back?
That's what I do.
It's so meta. It's so meta. We're getting way off course. Let's bring it back.
All right. Let's get back to the sacred timeline.
A real what if here. What if Thor was able to save his mother and make the Dark Elves flee rather than them stabbing her? Because then Loki might not have the motivation twice.
Yeah, that goes real far.
Yeah, the Loki and Thor's motivations for the next few movies are real wrapped up in that.
Yep. So she sticks around and she's a powerful sorceress. wizard?
Witch.
No, she doesn't have a hat. She's a witch, right. She doesn't have a hat, so she's not a wizard. So she's a super powerful mage of some sort, and, you know, she might have spent a little bit more time in the dungeon with Loki, teaching him a bit more. He could have finally come around to understand that his family loves him and, you know, sees the error of his ways. Thor would still want to try to stop the dark elves from, you know, making the convergence do its thing and getting the Aether, like, you know, because he's the hero or whatever, but he wouldn't have had Loki to go with him. So it would have been, he went to Svartalfheim all by himself, maybe, probably all by himself. Would anybody have gone with him? Would he have taken the Warriors 3?
Warriors 3, yeah. Or
at least a couple of them.
All of them would have been dead.
And they were
sooner
anyway.
Than the third movie. Yeah, sooner than the third movie.
Yeah,
so
they all died.
Except Sif.
So unceremoniously.
Yeah. Well, except for Lady Sif. Yeah. We don't know what happened.
Yeah, Sif's still out there. So, like, what else? Jane Foster would have... I guess she would have ended up in the same predicament? Maybe? Like, if Thor hadn't thought that Loki died on Svartalfheim, he might not have had the drive and determination to fight the way that he did against them. Or maybe he would have also been taken out, and then convergence happens and we're in a world of darkness. Why are we taking it to a dark timeline?
It just goes to show how important it is that these things didn't happen.
Yes, thank you.
Basically, you change anything. These movies are made on the cusp of, like, if these few things don't happen right, then our heroes lose. They have to be that way, so it seems like a struggle. So anything you change, like, diverts to a dark timeline.
Oh, man. It's like... You think about it, Civil War, like, Zemo's plan hinged on, like, so many little itty-bitty things going absolutely right. Like, what if any one of those went wrong? And it's just like, he's just waiting in Siberia, like, any day now.
I'm freezing my ass off.
They're coming.
And he didn't even have his nice fancy coat with the fur collar.
Yeah, right? No. It's just, they're coming. Someday.
What this says is the one above all was right.
He who remains?
He who remains,
he
yeah.
Who remains. He who remains. We haven't
yeah, one above all would not. That would just been like, yeah. All right, go back.
It's fixed. Little, you have been Q.
Little, yeah, pretty much. Yeah, he's a little OP.
I rewrote it. There we go.
He who remains was right, though, that this is the timeline to be preserved, the sacred timeline.
Because if any of these keys turn differently, if we go real dark quick.
Mm-hmm. We do.
Well, and not to do a shameless plug like we just talked about on Source Pages, is that in the original What Ifs from the 70s, it was almost like you didn't have free will, because a lot of times, like with the Doctor Strange episode or issue we discussed, the end result was the same result as if it would have happened the right way anyway.
Oh,
so Doctor Strange still went back with the Ancient One, but it was a different path that went there. So it's always it's course correcting itself at the end. A lot of these things we don't see. If this big event happens, the course correction is like almost impossible.
So. Well, that leads to my story pretty well. So let's get into this.
Everybody, get ready, settle in.
All right.
We've got a script coming.
One more quick one before Matt jumps in there. What if the U.S. government was better about cleaning up after the Avengers?
Wasn't there supposed to be that? Was that there was
damage
that TV
control?
Damage control. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, what if we actually got the damage control series?
Yeah. Now you're talking about our timeline, like,
in the real world.
Was that not what we were doing?
Yeah. I thought you were saying, what if the U.S. government was better about cleaning up the environment?
Yeah.
I mean, too real. This is escapism. Come on.
Six one way, half a dozen the other.
We're escapism here with these what ifs. We gotta, like, we're a turducken of escapism right now.
Wait, which one's the duck then? No.
Don't ask such questions.
All right.
So now for a dramatic reading by Matt.
Feel free to talk. I don't have to, but.
Cue the music.
So I did. I like straight up wrote this thing. So I'm going to like read it. And I'm a little embarrassed to read it because I'm not a writer. So please forgive me, but I was excited about it, so I just kept writing.
It was a dark and stormy night.
Wait, hold on, we'll get you ready by...
It was the best of times, it was the worst of times.
Please, sir, I want some full.
Read something from Dickens. Okay, here we go. All right. We begin on the bridge of...
The Enterprise? I thought you were going to say the Enterprise there. I'm like, wait a second. That's...
yeah, that would be
you
so good. Just the Enterprise. We begin on the bridge of a Project Insight helicarrier, where Cap is fighting the Winter Soldier with seconds left to get the final override chip in place. It clicks in just as the countdown reaches one. He slumps over, feeling accomplished. He yells into his comms, "Fire! Fire now!" Maria Hill activates Project Insight. The weapons come online as the helicarriers reach their desired height. They begin to fire. "Something's wrong," Cap says aloud to no one. He looks out of the large window to see the weapons firing down on the earth below. And at that moment, in Pierce's office, Nat steps forward, shooting Fury in the chest, and turns to Pierce and says, "Hail Hydra."
Oh, snap. I like it.
And then we cut to the intro, right? Like it's sort of like a backstory of Nat being brought over from Russia and then like being indoctrinated into S.H.I.E.L.D., but also into Hydra, and Pierce recruiting her into Hydra behind the scenes.
Like a flashback montage.
Yeah. So then the public, Cap being there, was all part of the plan. It was all just to get him busy, get him in the way, so that the public blames Project Insight and the killing of all these heroes, all the heroes, they just murked all the heroes out there, and the future heroes. Project Insight worked. And the public blames Project Insight on malware by fringe elements led by Steve Rogers and Sam Wilson. So they are captured and imprisoned. Only a few heroes survive. Iron Man is protected by one of his suits. It comes and saves him, but Pepper is killed. And in rage, Iron Man counterattacks the helicarriers, destroying them and dropping a building on Rumlow's face.
I like that part's consistent.
Yeah, it's gotta be. That's a Nexus Being event or whatever.
Fixed point in time.
Thank you. Yeah, fixed point in time. Rumlow's face.
That'll work like that no more.
Let's see. Banner is hit, but of course. That doesn't do anything. Yeah. He just awakens the Hulk. All other Avengers and future Avengers are killed.
False.
Thor. I guess Thor is out there still, yeah.
Yeah.
Thor would still be out there.
Scoff.
But there's no one to call him anymore. I mean, I guess there's Tony, but yeah. Thor is still definitely a possibility. But they all still think, because of the misinformation, they all think that they've been betrayed by Captain America and that, like, S.H.I.E.L.D. is still S.H.I.E.L.D. to them. The whole Hydra reveal never really emerges because Hydra keeps it under wraps by blaming it all on fringe elements and blaming it on Steve Rogers.
Right, and Nat doesn't disseminate any information to the public.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because she's nobody knows a member either. Of Hydra, so nobody knows anything about Hydra. They just blame S.H.I.E.L.D. And subsequently the Avengers. So then we would have Secret Avengers. We would have to.
Well, there's no... All the Avengers are dead or drastically changed. I got a lot more. I can keep going.
Go for it.
Act two.
All right.
Act two.
And I think at some point I started like writing this more like I was writing it instead of just like...
bullet points, like brainstorming it. Yeah, well, it starts up, enter.
Stage deck. Yeah, of the
Enterprise. Enter, deck of the Enterprise, yeah.
Camera pan left.
Yes.
In the shadow of grief and betrayal, Banner and Tony begin to work on a project to protect the world in the absence of the rest of the Avengers. So Ultron is still born.
Ultron versus Hydra!
Yeah.
I love it!
Ultron is born. And to get to the intel that he couldn't get digitally, he kidnaps the head of S.H.I.E.L.D., of course, Natasha Romanoff. Mm-hmm. Because who would take over if Pierce is, you know, secretary? She's the director now. So Director Romanoff has contingencies in place, and a new Avengers team is called up to fight the threat and save the world. Because Hydra doesn't want the world to die. They just want to rule it. Anybody? No? Okay. But there are a few heroes left, so she puts a team together from whatever she can find. And I can see it now, just like Tony Stark stepping onto a Quinjet, like carrying a bottle of whiskey in his hand, followed by like a guilty Banner who like let this happen, you know,
and with he like a larger bottle of whiskey in his hand.
Yeah. And, Mr. Face Smashed himself, Crossbones, could be there, because of course building drops on his face still. Eric Killmonger, like a young mercenary who has kind of lost his path since Wakanda has been decimated during Project Insight, at least large portions of it.
No.
It would have taken out a lot of the heroes.
No, it would not have.
I don't know if Insight can get to Wakanda.
In the movie, there's a big, well, okay, it's presumed. This was long before Wakanda was known, but in the movie, there's a big marker when they show like the different targets that it's showing, it shows one in the middle of Africa, and everyone always assumed that was Wakanda. But it's an assumption.
The technology in Wakanda is so great, so much more advanced that like a bunch of fucking bullets from Project Insight's not going to kill anybody there. Like the dome is there, it's going to protect them.
Yeah,
possibly.
They're fine.
The Chitauri could barely get through.
Right, yeah. And I don't necessarily mean like that's true. But they knew the Chitauri were coming. They like put up the shields, all that stuff. Like if bullets just rained down and took out a few of our heroes, it could happen. And I don't mean like it's destroyed. I just mean like some people are lost. Some of the leaders and such. And it's like revealed to the world.
Okay. I'll buy it.
I won't. You take that back to the store, Dylan.
I'm just like taking out all the heroes so the villains have to fight for the world. That's what I'm
doing.
Get
your money back.
Is Pete still alive? Is Peter still alive?
No.
Ooh, no, he wouldn't be.
He would have been a Project Insight target.
Unless, like, do they know he's going to get bit by a spider, though?
They couldn't have, right?
I would have thought. He's a very smart kid with great ideas, and, like, he would have become a scientist like Reed Richards, like...
Well, yeah, and Stephen Strange was on the list.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, those guys were a little more, like...
Those guys were established.
They were established already, yeah.
Yes, but the algorithm knows.
That's the magic of the algorithm, yeah. The accident of the spider seems hard to predict.
Yeah. Well, he said, like, a valedictorian from wherever.
Right.
Yeah.
Smart people who would resist Hydra.
Yeah.
Right. The spider bite just, like, elevated his ability to stop them or to fight against them. Like, they would have seen... The algorithm would have seen the environment that he was raised in and known, like, been able to predict that he was going to become somebody like Tony, somebody like Bruce Banner, somebody like Reed Richards is going to be, like, a big name in science.
Possibly. It's hard to know, though, because, like,
he was still probably young.
Smart kids without resources, though. You know, like, all those people you named are people that had, like, huge resources.
Right.
And then Peter Parker's, like, a poor kid from Queens that didn't have all those resources.
He made his web fluid on his own.
Like, couldn't he have been recruited and turned into a Hydra, like, child soldier? Just Tony turned him into a child soldier.
God, I thought this was getting dark.
Can we have one of these end on a positive note or something?
No, this is definitely not going to end on a positive note.
I'm imagining the nano suit that Spidey had where the spider legs come out, except it's Hydra tentacles instead.
Kill mode.
Instant death.
Activate instant kill. It's always activated.
Yeah. I don't know any other level.
I fully admit that it's definitely possible that all of Wakanda was protected, but I just wanted to put Killmonger on the team, so I wanted to get a reason.
That's fair. That's
fair point. Fair point.
I wanted Killmonger fighting in the Ultron fight.
I'll buy that.
Yeah, that one I will take, salesman.
So yeah, sure. They just hire him. Whatever. Yellow Jacket is there because after the death of the Pims, due to Project Insight, Cross was able to get a hold of their tech way sooner and become Yellow Jacket sooner. And then Winter Soldier is there. Not Bucky, but Winter Soldier. Tragically, he remains the Winter Soldier.
Yep.
And then, okay, so the team confronts Ultron topside while Banner saves Nat from her cage. And, you know, very much what happened in the other movie. And then as they start to make their escape, okay, this is where I get like, I wrote a scene. I wrote a couple scenes. Okay, so the team confronts Ultron up topside while Banner saves Nat from her cage, and they start to make their escape. They are confronted with an Ultron who says, "You may go. You are of little consequence to me now. I do have one question for you, Director." Nat looks at the hulking robot. Why did you let this man live so long after you attempted to murder him with all of your other friends? Surely you've had opportunities since then. He seems like a needless risk." And revealing to Banner that she's responsible for Project Insight. And Banner's face turns pale as he realizes what Ultron is saying. "Nat, tell me he's lying." Nat is silent for a moment, but then engages. "Bruce, it's so much more complicated than that." He backs away. "I truly didn't have a choice. But he's right. There is a reason you're still alive." And Banner looks destroyed as he backs away. Nat steps forward and says, "Alive because I adore you. But I need the other guy right now." And then pushes him over the thing!
She goes to push him over the thing, but he's already hulking out. And it doesn't move. Like, oh shit! And he turns and grabs her and rips her in half.
Oh, God.
Made it so much worse.
Who's draining so much worse? And I had other things I wanted to write, but then I liked how this ended so well that I decided to end it like this.
And that's the end of the MCU.
Bruce falls backwards, betrayed, cold, but not as cold as the next moment that he knows, the next moment he's awake. He hears the words he often wakes up to these days. "The sun's getting real low." Bruce feels disoriented. He realizes he was gone a long time. "Bruce," he hears the familiar voice. What is going on?" Bruce says with fear in his voice as he surveys the alien world on which they stand and the cliff face that stands before them.
On Boromir?
Yeah, they're on Boromir.
Yeah.
He's been Hulk all that time. He was Hulk the whole time because that's when he started being Hulk at Ragnarok. You know, he stayed Hulk that long time because he felt betrayed or whatever. But this time he's on Earth as like Nat's helper, as Hulk helper helping Hydra, you know?
I don't like this.
I like it a lot.
I don't like this at all.
He says, "What is going on?" Bruce says with fear in his voice as he starts. "What is going on?" Bruce says. "Do you still care for me?" She asks so simply, even though it can't be that simple anymore. "What? I don't even know what this is. I need to know before..." She trails off. "Nat, I just found out you tried to kill me and you did kill our friends. Look at me, Bruce. More depends on this than you know. I know I hurt you, but do you still care for me?" Bruce swallows. "I don't think it would hurt this bad if I didn't." In any other context, this knowledge, knowing that it was real, would have made the director smile, but not here. "When you have it, press there to go home." She points at a button on his time device, and Natasha leaps from the cliff.
Ugh, Matt.
Nat still dies.
Yeah, she has to. He can't die there.
No, that's true.
No.
He can't die.
He can't die completely, yeah.
He can't die. And does she really love him? Does she really care for him? But he cares for her.
Oh, it's no longer a fight between who gets to jump.
It's, yeah, it's just a really sad.
It's a
he doesn't even know what's going on. He's just been asleep for 5 years, then wakes up to that. Oh.
On that note, it'd be something positive when you said, and he wakes up to the sound he's used to waking up to. All of a sudden, I just hear the alarm going off, and I Got You, Babe playing like in Groundhog Day. Constantly going. So that's why I started laughing. I'm like, oh, that's what this is. So he just keeps doing it until he gets it right. Like, no, he's going to kill. He's going to kill Nat or be there for when Nat kills herself. Oh.
So sorry, I went real dark too.
The two constants in your universe is Nat dies and Rumlow has a building dropped on his face.
Yes, yep. Fixed points in time. Very important.
Fixed points in time. If you drop a building on someone's face or you drop someone's face from building height, those are always fixed points in time.
Wow.
Any kind of. So gravity always wins, right?
Yeah. If gravity's involved, it's very important. Yeah.
Gravity is a constant.
Gravity is the real villain.
Gravity is the real villain.
That's why all the cool stuff happens in space, because there's no gravity up there.
Yeah.
See? We come away with a positive in this whole thing.
Yeah, totally.
So, well, okay, we're but all in your, dark in your, people. I think the real question here, guys, is in all these dark timelines, when does Mephisto show up?
Well, he's controlling the whole thing.
Listen, Jeff, you had a chance here. You were writing your own what if. You could have rewritten the end of WandaVision.
I don't have to. He's already there. I don't have to rewrite it. He's been there the whole time. It was Mephisto all along.
You could have rewritten multiple Marvel movies to end with Mephisto. Like, you could have just, like, tagged Mephisto.
I don't have to, Matt. He's been there.
Oh,
geez. I don't know how to put it more plainly. He's been there the whole time.
Wow. Anyway, sorry I made you guys listen to me read a book.
It was enjoyable.
Very well thought out.
It was great.
Unlike mine.
No, it was great.
You had some really funny ones, too, though.
Yeah, we need to hear more of your options. Just just read the one-sentence version.
The Nick Fury one was funny.
Okay, hold on. Let me pull it up.
Throw out some honorable mentions here.
Yeah.
What if Nick Fury ate sandwiches not cut diagonally?
That changes everything.
He's not a Skrull. The other serious one I had was, what if Scarlet Witch had let the bomb detonate by that building in Lagos? Or Lagos or whatever it's called.
Lagos.
So it wouldn't have triggered the whole
Accords, yeah.
So that could have, I mean, that changes the whole outcome of Civil
War.
They
might have beaten Thanos if they weren't torn apart.
That could
have
been.
Like... So you're okay, yeah. So you're saying, like, not just like contained it, moved it, and then let it go up there, but like entirely contained the blast
it, or
and
let
then,
it
like,
let it blow up outside of like, any radius that it would do any damage, so it wouldn't blow up right by the side of a building.
The thing that I thought of when you said that was like she missed and like didn't, you know, put him up. It was just like boom, he blows up in the market. I'm like, that's still bad. Cap was there. That's worse.
That's the thing. That scene. It annoys me so much that they like blame her for that because. Yes, some people died, but people were gonna die.
Just different people died.
Different people, yeah.
The face of who killed them.
She was doing her best. It was a mistake.
She was trying to save somebody. She saved somebody.
Yeah.
You gotta save some people. Can't save all the people. Sometimes.
They say you can't save all the people all the time, you know?
In the first Thor, if Hawkeye shot Thor with the
nothing
arrow
would have happened.
Yeah.
Would he have survived? Would he have been fine?
Yeah.
It'd been like, I think so. He can survive a sun. I think he could survive an arrow. Yeah.
But he didn't have his powers, right? Or something.
True.
It's hard to know the power. Which powers are him and which powers are inherent to his worthiness.
Yeah, it's been inside him all along.
I agree with you, Dylan, because even at the hospital, they put the syringe in his booty and he's just out.
True. And
that's right.
He was getting his butt kicked by that one guy. he eventually won, but it was like it was not a normal Thor battle. He should have just like plowed that
Good
guy.
Point.
Not plowed him. That would have been a different movie.
This became a very adult universe very quick. This took a turn. So, like, the thing that Clint said was, do you want me to slow him down, sir, or are you sending more guys for him to beat up? So, like, I think we're assuming that Clint would have gone for the kill shot, but that's not what he would have done. He would have gotten him in, like, the Achilles or the leg, or, like, in some way disabled him or slowed him down enough to, like, you know, let people pile on and eventually... contain.
Yeah, they wouldn't have killed them because S.H.I.E.L.D. wasn't into doing that at that point in the universe, too.
Right.
It's true. That's true. Okay. Okay. Right. Hawkeye's not killing Thor.
We didn't have Director Romanov yet. it was a whole different S.H.I.E.L.D.
It was a whole different S.H.I.E.L.D. after Director Romanov.
The kinder S.H.I.E.L.D.
What I like about yours, Matt, is that, like, Nat, it's totally plausible that Nat could go bad, right? It's like, her trajectory would almost suggest that she goes bad.
Right, right.
Essentially Hawkeye again.
A small difference. Yeah, like if Hawkeye, if someone other than Hawkeye had brought her over, that's probably where I should have started the what if. Like, if I don't know, I'm trying to think of like a good, like if Sitwell or whatever, like some Rumlow. S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, Rumlow. Pierce. If Rumlow had brought over Nat, had recruited Pierce. Nat instead of, yeah. That's what I said, but he's older. I don't know if he.
I think if Rumlow was in Budapest with her instead of Clint, it could have ended up a lot differently.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Ew.
Yeah. What I like about the idea of all of my story is I like the fact that she still builds this thing and still fights off Ultron and still sacrifices herself. She's still the kind of the hero. Like she still would do the things that Nat would do.
She's doing the right thing for the world.
Even though she's just has her alliances wrong, which she's been wrong before, like with S.H.I.E.L.D. she was wrong, and with Russia she was wrong, and like Hydra just be another step in that process. It's like as if she never got kind of in a Winter Soldier when she kind of gets freed of the idea of following orders. Like she never had that happen, so she just stays a Hydra soldier for her whole life, but still does the sacrifice things and still saves the world and saves the universe.
I found it very funny that we mentioned her trajectory because
Jeff.
Physics
mostly down.
The
gravity
again. Gravity's the villain here. Mm-hmm. It's not me. It's gravity.
I hope you weren't gonna listen to a happy podcast because you didn't get one.
Have you listened to the rest of the stuff we've talked about?
That's what I mean. In general.
You guys were talking about it. Also, y'all were talking about the what-if trajectories of the comics where, like, something would happen and it would change drastically, but it would still end up in the same place. And I was like, okay, I guess that's a good time for me to tell mine because that's exactly what I did. I wrote that exact thing. Apparently, I'm a comic book writer from the 70s. I don't know.
Lots of words.
Lots of coke.
Lots of
all the coke.
Yeah,
that's how I wrote mine.
I threw out a bunch of coke on the table, and then I just kind of blew, and whatever images I saw in it's what I wrote down.
We did not give it enough love on Bingers last week, but in Birds of Prey, there's a scene where she's in a evidence locker. Harley Quinn is in an evidence lockup, and these guns are being fired at her, and they hit a bunch of cocaine. And so it creates clouds of cocaine in the room, and Harley Quinn goes... And then she goes into the fight. Like, it's so funny. It's just so funny that, like, in a DC superhero movie, they, like, let... one of the main fights in the movie be fueled by cocaine. Like she was just like, and then she like goes
that.
Into it. But
that's not what heroes do. That.
That's not what heroes do.
The Suicide Squad does.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, there's some man. The scene when they, when they,
wait,
oh,
don't
I
spoil
even,
the new one. You're the only ones that have seen it.
Stop. Shut up, BB King.
BB King is like wanting to talk about it. But the scene, but no, don't let me, no. Let me just tell you the one thing. Okay, ooh. y'all go watch The Suicide Squad. It doesn't matter if you've seen anything else. Go watch The Suicide Squad. It's so good.
No.
So, happy one. Happy
Haley
one.
Doesn't want to see that gory.
We gotta end this on a positive note. What if Strange cut off Thanos' hand just like he did Black Dwarf and it just took the glove off?
Mm-hmm. For those people that aren't comic literate, it's called Obsidian.
Oh, sorry.
So, Same character. Call of City was the name of the group in...
The big guy.
The big guy in New York.
And they would have won. Guy. Yay. Happy.
They win.
Max alive.
Yeah.
Yay.
What do we do at Endgame then?
We don't have an Endgame. No blip.
Go to Tony and Pepper's wedding.
Aww. Everyone lives. Yeah, Endgame is just a wedding. It's the last Twilight movie.
That wouldn't have made $2 billion, I don't think.
Yeah, Disney's poorer.
The last Twilight movie is seriously, and I know it's because it's in the books, and like big fans of the books actually, I think, love it, but like the last Twilight movie, like 40 minutes of it is a wedding, and it's just a wedding. Like they're just walking around at a wedding, talking to different characters that I guess in the books you care about.
I will take your word for it.
It drove me nuts.
Yeah, so Julie wanted to watch the Twilight movies just to finish the story and like to know what kind of awful thing that she had missed out on. And I sat there the whole time like, when is this movie gonna start? Like, when does it actually start?
What is going on right now?
Okay, well, we need to get out of here. We've overshared.
I tried to end it on a good note, but Matt brought it over to fucking Twilight.
Yeah, what if Twilight didn't exist? Boom.
There it is.
There's our happy
positive
ending.
Note.
Then DC doesn't have their new Batman.
That's true. That's fair.
Nope, it was still that's a fixed point in time. I'm sure you still get Robert Pattinson somewhere. And on that note.
You guys want to have anything you want to plug? I know BVK and Haley, y'all got a thing to plug. You got anything you want to plug? Dylan?
Don't say it, Jeff. Don't say it, Jeff.
I got him.
Sometimes people are like
a
starfish? You know, my Instagram or whatever. I don't know.
Check out the Stranded Panda Facebook group. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, Stranded Panda chat on Facebook.
Yeah, and check out the Source Pages podcast anywhere you listen. We're on Twitter, Instagram, and you can email us sparkpodcast@gmail.com.
With a C.
Spark with a C.
Yep. And we got a page on Facebook too, where we have a lot of our reading lists, and they call it their syllabi, where we tell you what we're going to be covering or what we had covered. So, I got a nice message today from some guy that pretty much explained the whole reason why we did the show. It's like he was scared to jump into it, and he listened to the podcast and he ended up reading it, and he has an unlimited thing now, and he's just going on. He has like a sense of what he wants to listen to or read now because of listening to our podcast.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, that's
awesome.
Literally 100% the reason why we made the podcast.
Thanks for all your support, everybody.
Mission accomplished. We can go home.
We're done.
Now.
We're not doing it anymore.
You don't have to make another one.
Nope. With that being said, we're gonna do the Shang-Chi one relatively soon. We'll probably release it a week or two before the movie comes out to get people. That was an entity sort of like the What If Uatu one we just released last week. We don't know much about it. This is their first, taste of them in the MCU. So it go out and listen to the one we did, Jeff. Guest it on with us, where we talk about who Uatu is, what if is, you know, it's pretty much, they've already said now, what if the animated show is canon, so, because it's all the
That's
different multiverse.
So exciting.
So, a lot bigger stakes than we thought we were going to have. I was excited for it to begin with, because I loved the comics as a kid. Now it's like, geez, you know, Captain Carter is going to be in live action, maybe, you know, this is, it's
right?
Just, it's
oh,
so
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah, because I heard that rumor. Also, the fact that they're going to do Captain Carter in multiple seasons, mm-hmm. they announced season 2 is going to have a Captain Carter episode, which is just crazy cool.
And so I was there on that episode, it's mostly not about What If. it's tangents.
It's mostly about movie gallery.
Tangents are canon.
We stick a lot to it till the end when we talk about Lord of the Rings for about 10 minutes, but hey, that's still, you know, something that'll be covered on the show.
It's
fine.
That's great. So the thing that I have to plug, because we're doing plugs now, is if you want to learn about some of the mysticism that is behind Shang-Chi, episode 4 of Legends and Libations is going up on Twitch, twitch.tv/StrandedPandaTV at 7 p.m. this Thursday. Ashley will be talking about, how does she describe it? Motherfucking lion dogs.
And I'm sure that's how she will describe it on the show.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's
so
awesome.
we're diving into the myths and legends of you know, the world, and figure why not talk about some stuff that we've seen in Shang-Chi.
That's awesome. I love it. And I talked about it up top, but we all have plugs tonight. It seems like lots of plugs tonight. Please check out Binger's Assemble. Very excited about the new format and the new content. So check out Binger's Assemble.
There's going to be a lot of Binger's, a lot of Pandavision coming up, a lot of just so much goodies from the network.
Mm-hmm. Lots of cool stuff.
You want content? We got it.
Daddy made you some content. Okay. We're done. Let's do this. Bye, guys.
Until next time, true believers.
Thank you for joining us for the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. Available everywhere you get podcasts, and now a video version streaming live on twitch.tv/strandedpandatv and available at youtube.com/strandedpanda. And if you'd like to learn more about all of our other podcasts, geeky projects, and ways to support the network, visit strandedpanda.com.